top stories this hour. Israeli jets keep pounding the Gaza Strip, killing more Palestinians, among them 8 children. The US backs the deadly strikes. Authorities in the Gaza Strip warn medics are facing multiple crises amid deadly Israeli airstrikes, with hospitals running out of drugs and fuel supplies. And Iranians hold Tasua mourning ceremonies on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, a grandson of Prophet Muhammad. Hello and welcome to World News here at headquarters in Iran's capital, Tehran. Thank you for joining us. Top story this hour, Israel keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes. The fresh air raids have left at least 2 people dead. The attack targeted the Jabalia camp and the city of Khan Yunus. This brings the total to 23, the number of Palestinians killed since Friday. The toll includes 8 children. 2 senior Islamic Jihad leaders are also among the fatalities. Palestinians held a funeral for Commander Khaled Mansour in the southern city of Rafah. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says assassinating Palestinian leaders won't stop the resistance to the Israeli occupation. 265 people have been injured so far in Israeli attacks. Israel has also deployed artillery units and troops near the Gaza border. Meanwhile, in response to Israel's attacks, the Islamic Jihad has fired hundreds of rockets at Israeli cities, including Tel Aviv, Sderot and Ashkelon. The movement says it will not engage in any mediation efforts until after it avenges the Israeli killings and the assassination of its leaders. Here are the reactions of the people in Gaza to Israel's deadly airstrikes against the besieged territory.
The house was overcrowded with no less than 22 members, and around it there were 6 houses that were all damaged. And this happened without a warning. It was horrifying. They targeted the house with 5 or 6 rockets. There were body parts on the ground. It's horrifying.
They target people. They target helpless people who are safe in their homes. They target children and old people. They do not have mercy. Who can we complain to?
This building has 3 apartments, shops including smithy shop, aluminum shop, a carpenter shop, a fish store, chicken store. This is a tragedy. We appeal to the Arab countries and Muslims to stand with us.
Gaza's top hospital director warns that medics are facing multiple crises amid Israeli attacks. The blockaded territory is urgently in need of drugs and electricity supplies. The director says the borders of Gaza must be immediately reopened to allow for the imports of drugs and fuel. That's as Gaza's health ministry says power generators are running out of fuel and the depleting electricity supply is expected to lead to a halt to health services as soon as Tuesday afternoon. Gaza's sole power plant shut down on Saturday, 4 days after Israel closed its crossings with the territory, citing security concerns. The UN's humanitarian agency has also voiced concerns over fuel shortages in the Strip, saying this could affect ambulances helping the injured. Well, to keep you updated with the latest developing story out of occupied Palestine and the Gaza Strip, we're going to go over to our correspondent in Gaza, Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, what's the latest in the Israeli aggression on the Gaza city? And, of course, please tell us the number of injured and the number of those who have been killed.
Well, I mean, since Friday afternoon when the Israeli onslaught against Gaza began, at least 31 Palestinians have been killed and close to 260 direct injuries. We're not even talking about the cuts and bruises and scratches, but we're talking about actual major injuries due to the heavy bombardment and some officials describe Israel's use of unconventional weapons against the civilians in Gaza during these attacks. Currently, the situation is extremely tense, and there are rumors about a possible truce sometime this evening, but the Islamic Jihad continues to deny such truth, as one of the spokesmen of the Islamic Jihad from was speaking from Turkey earlier, said that they are open for such possibility of a truce, but nothing has been officially declared, at least by the Islamic Jihad. Meanwhile, Israel continues to pound the Gaza Strip, while the Palestinian resistance fighters, mainly the Islamic Jihad's military wing, the Al-Quds Brigades, continues to fire rockets towards the Israeli regime. Over the last hour or hour and a half, hundreds of rockets were fired from Gaza towards the Israeli regime, and also they fired mortar shells towards Israeli military positions on the east of the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation is extremely dire, especially in regards to the health situation. Health officials have warned of an imminent health crisis, as they may stop providing service in less than 48 hours due to lack of electricity to run hospitals, and also lack of fuel for hospital backup generators, as the Israeli regime has sealed the crossings into Gaza since Tuesday, preventing the entry of all goods and also the entry of any fuel for Gaza's sole power generating plant that was forced to shut down yesterday. The whole situation we're in right now is because of what the Israeli regime did last Monday, when they arrested a senior Islamic Jihad official in the occupied West Bank, Bassam al-Sadi, and killed a Palestinian there as well. And then over the last few days, Israel started making threats against the Palestinians in Gaza and against mainly the Islamic Jihad. And all of a sudden, Friday afternoon, while the Israeli regime had announced on Thursday night they're going to open the crossing to allow fuel for the power plant instead of allowing the fuel, at the same time they were supposed to allow fuel for the power generating plant, they assassinated top Islamic Jihad commander Taysir al-Jabri by hitting an apartment building that houses over 100 100 families.
Ashraf, reports say that the Israeli military has accepted a truce, but the Islamic Jihad has rejected. Why do you think this is?
Well, these statements are made through Israeli media. You have to understand that it is Israel who started this deadly attack against the Gaza Strip by assassinating Islamic Jihad official on Friday and another Islamic Jihad official on Saturday, and a few other military commanders from the Islamic Jihad. So I think if a truce does happen, it has to abide by the rules of the Islamic Jihad, not the rules and conditions of the Israeli regime.
Okay, Ashraf, thank you very much for keeping us updated. Hope you keep safe, and we will keep in touch with you in the next news bulletins. Moving on, as the Israeli airstrikes on the Gaza Strip continues, crowds of people in the British capital, London, gather to protest the regime's atrocities against Palestinians. Protesters held placards and chanted against Tel Aviv's acts of aggression and terrorism. They are calling for a stop to the massacre of Palestinians. The regime's deadly raids on Gaza have drawn huge condemnations. Turkey strongly condemned the air raids, saying it is unacceptable to kill civilians. Qatar, Jordan, and Algeria also denounced the Israeli onslaught. Israel's airstrikes on the Gaza Strip have left dozens of Palestinians dead and hundreds of others injured since Friday. Millions of Iranians are marking Tasawwur as part of mourning ceremonies commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad.
Aslan limi shabab daram در خاک و خون نشستیم.
بران نامردمان زینب صدای خنده می آید، صدای خنده می آید. بخوان زینب، بخوان زینب، آیا بر نمی خیزید؟ آیا بر نمی خیزید؟ به پا خیزید،
به آتش با ویلا خوش به سر آمد.
خورشید روشن شیه تاریک و چون شب،
Taswa is the ninth day of the lunar month of Muharram, a day before Ashura, which marks the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam. Taswa is the day Imam Hussein and his companions were besieged by the enemy during the Battle of Karbala. Every year, black-clad mourners attend mosque or parade in the streets for rituals that involve rhythmic chanting and beating of their chest and reciting eulogies in honor of Imam Hussein. The Imam and 72 of his comrades were martyred after fighting thousands of soldiers of the second Umayyad Caliph Yazid in Karbala desert in today's Iraq in 1680 AD.
Voices of grief and sorrow for Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam, a man who lived 14 centuries ago but continues to inspire Muslims. Every year during the first 10 days of the Muslim calendar month of Muharram, Iranians get together in large mourning processions to mark the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. He and his 72 companions were killed in 680 AD by the forces of the tyrannical ruler of the time, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, on the plains of the modern-day Iraqi city of Karbala.
After 14 centuries, we continue to love Imam Hussein, not only as our third Imam and the Prophet's grandson, but as the symbol of self-sacrifice and freedom-seeking.
Every year, we participate in the mourning rituals for Imam Hussein to keep his legacy alive. We dress in black, beat on our chests, and shed tears. The blazes of his love never die down in our hearts.
The ninth day of Muharram is called Tasua and is dedicated to Imam Hussein's half-brother, Abul Fazl al-Abbas, who fought alongside the Imam against the army of Yazid. Abul Fazl is highly revered among Muslims as a symbol of loyalty and chivalry.
Abul Fazl holds a special place in our hearts. In the Battle of Karbala, Imam Hussein and his household and their companions were denied access to Euphrates River to drink water, and it was Abul Fazl who fought a large group of the enemy's forces to get to the river, but on the way back, he was brutally killed by the forces of Yazid.
The Karbala tragedy was sparked after Imam Hussein refused to pay allegiance to Yazid, who was known as a corrupt ruler. These people say without the sacrifices of Imam Hussein, Islam as we know it could have been distorted by Yazid.
The reason Imam Hussein rose against Yazid was to tell his community that Yazid was not treading on the path of Islam. And by spilling the blood of Imam Hussein, who was the Prophet's son, Yazid revealed his anti-Muslim stance, and this ultimately led to the decline of his rule.
The climax of the Muharram rituals is the day of Ashura, which falls on the 10th day of the month. That's when large groups of Shia Muslims converge on Imam Hussein's shrine in the city of Karbala in Iraq to pay homage to him.
The event of Karbala is a heart-wrenching story that touches the heart of every listener. But these people say, aside from its tragic side, Imam Hussein's martyrdom is an endless source of lessons about freedom and resistance for all generations. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Muslims in Pakistan and other countries across the world mark the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein's six-month-old son on the International Day of Ali Asghar. Third Shia Imam Hussein Ali and his family and followers were ruthlessly martyred in the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD.
Mourners in Karachi commemorated the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein's youngest child, who was not spared by the enemy forces.
The six-month-old Ali Asghar, the youngest son of Imam Hussein, was martyred by the forces of Yazid. The Battle of Karbala and Imam Hussein's sacrifices for righteousness and freedom are still a source of inspiration for Muslims around the world.
Mothers who brought their babies along paid tribute to Ali Asghar on the first Friday of the Islamic month of Muharram and mourned the six-month-old son of Imam Hussein.
What had the six-month-old done? We are out on the streets recalling the message of that innocent child of Imam Hussein that we will always stand against the tyrant of the time. We will always stand shoulder to shoulder with the oppressed, no matter what.
Special eulogies and rituals were performed to commemorate the incident where Ali Asghar was killed with an arrow shot in his throat in the plains of the Iraqi city of Karbala.
We are commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of Ali Asghar, the youngest martyr of Karbala, who teaches us the lessons of readiness and sacrifice in the face of injustice and brutality.
Ali Asghar was martyred while he was in the arms of his father, Imam Hussein, who was pleading for water to quench the thirst of his little baby. The grandson of Prophet Muhammad and his companions sacrificed their lives but refused to pledge allegiance to the unjust Umayyad Caliph Yazid. Muhammad Turi, Karachi.
A probe is underway in the U.S. state of New Mexico into what the local governor is calling the targeted killings of four Muslim men. The latest of the murders took place on Friday. The other three happened over the past 2 weeks and in November. Local police and federal agencies are now trying to establish whether the murders in the city of Albuquerque are linked. The previous victims were ambushed and shot without warning. Police earlier said the Muslim men were targeted for their religion and race, and that there is a strong possibility that their deaths were connected. Hopes are quickly fading for the rescue of 10 Mexican coal miners trapped in a flooded deposit as of 4 days ago. A relief effort ends with little progress. The miners were reportedly carrying out excavation work in the northern state of Cuyala, Mexico, when they encountered an abandoned tunnel with water that flooded the mine. Officials say over 300 soldiers and other personnel, including 6 military scuba divers, are working to pump out water from the flooded areas. According to the reports, the level of water inside the flooded mine has receded just under 10 meters. Cuyala is Mexico's main coal-producing region. It has seen a series of fatal mining accidents over the years. In the most recent, 7 miners died trapped last year. Well, those were the top stories for this hour. Many thanks for joining us.
His cradle is empty, his body is bloody, his body is bloody. His cradle is empty, his body is bloody, his body is bloody. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. His cradle is empty, his body is bloody, his body is bloody. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. My face is colored by the blood of my son, by the blood of my son. My face is colored by the blood of my son, by the blood of my son. I saw him in a huge fire kindled inside me. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. I saw him in a huge fire kindled inside me. O mothers, father's, my innocent son, was killed hungry and thirsty. I lost him here, but here's my honor. I lost him, but here's my honor. Though an infant, a great hero. Though an infant, a great hero. He supported his father when he was surrounded by much sorrow. He supported his father when he was surrounded by much sorrow. Old tent dwellers are now in a big grief. Now in a big grief. Old tent dwellers are now in a big grief. Now in a big grief. Tents are burning of both my sides and fire of enemy. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. Tents are burning of both my sides and fire of enemy. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty. O mothers, my innocent son was killed hungry and thirsty.
What you just heard was a lamentation for Chief of Martyrs Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, performed at Tehran University Mosque by members of the Saradlah Group of Mourners of Tehran University Medical School.
When your horse returns to Al-Camp Riderless,
Azuru Sayyidi wa Mawlai wa Mu'tamadi wa Rajai.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
Bari'tu ila Allah wa ilaykum minhum wa min ashiya'ihim wa atba'ihim wa awliya'ihim ya Aba Abdullah inni silmun liman salamakum.
Brothers and sisters, previously we were discussing this part of Ziyaratul Ashura. Ya Aba Abdullah, inni silmun liman salamakum, wa harbun liman harabakum, ila yawmil qiyamah. O Aba Abdullah, I am at peace with he who is at peace with you, and at war with he who is at war with you, until the day of resurrection. Ila yawmil qiyamah. Regarding this last part of this phrase, until the day of resurrection, we said that this is a declaration from the Zair, from the speaker, and it resembles the one who promises the Ahlul Bayt to be supportive of their teachings and themselves until the day of resurrection, and not just until the day of resurrection, but it is a kind of perpetual promise. So the man says that he is loyal to the Ahlul Bayt throughout the period of this world and in true meaning also the other world as well. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is reported to have said in this regard, "Man ahabbana wa amila bi amrina kana ma'ana fi as-sanam al-a'la." Whosoever loves us and acts according to our command would be with us at the highest zenith. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَنَا وَرَدَّنَا أَوْ رَدَّ وَاحِدًا مِنَّا فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ وَبِآيَاتِهِ. And whosoever hates us and rejects us or rejects even one of us is a disbeliever in Allah and His signs. One might wonder, why do the Ahlul Bayt say such words? Why do they claim that if even one of them are rejected, the man or woman rejecting the Ahlul Bayt is rejecting Almighty Allah? Now let us provide an answer to that question with a short preamble first. All human beings are instinctively inclined towards perfection, and Allah is the peak of perfection. So man has a natural inclination towards Allah, and in this relation, he is trying hard to reach that peak point of perfection. If he is truly devoted to Allah, this inclination motivates him to walk on the path of Him, to listen to whatever He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, orders. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O man, surely you must strive to attain to your Lord, a hard striving till you meet Him. Since reaching the peak of perfection requires going through certain stages, higher stages cannot be reached without going through lower stages. This is because the system of the universe is made as such. One who wishes to reach the peak of perfection must go through the stage of professing the prophethood of Muhammad, who was the first manifestation of Allah. And he must profess the imamah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because he is the gate to Holy Prophet's knowledge. أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا, the Holy Prophet says. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is the gate. So it is impossible to reach the peak of perfection without resorting to Imam Ali alayhi salam and to whatever Imam Ali alayhi salam introduces. So the Ahlul Bayt are the beginning of this kind of spiritual journey without which no one can follow Allah's orders and His messenger, and he can never reach Him.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So about this part, until the day of resurrection, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, "Man ahabbana wa amila bi amrina kana ma'ana fi as-sana min a'la." The one who loves us and acts according to our command will be with us at the highest zenith. And the one who rejects even one of us is disbeliever. The reason is now made clear, because Ahlul Bayt are the link to Allah, without which no one would be able to reach Almighty Allah. Addressing Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allah's Messenger, the Holy Prophet sallallahu, says, "من سره أن يلقى الله عز وجل آمنا مطهرا لا يحزنه الفزع الأكبر فليتولك وليتول ابنيك الحسن والحسين." The one who is pleased to meet Allah safe, purified, and not sad about the horror of Judgment Day must accept the leadership of you wholeheartedly, not just you, but your two sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, alayhi wasallam. And then the Holy Prophet continues to name all the 9 Imams after Imam Ali, alayhi salam. The one who wants to be purified in meeting Allah and not being worried about the horror of the Judgment Day must believe in all of you. And then Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, as their seal. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين.
In the limelight.
Unprecedented temperatures are coming faster and more furiously than researchers expected, raising questions about what to anticipate in the future. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written by Alexander Witz Ryder. This article is published under the heading Extreme Heat Waves, Surprising Lessons from the Record Warmth. Here's more. From London to San Francisco, unprecedented heat waves have scorched many parts of the world in recent weeks. In June, Tokyo baked through 9 consecutive days above 35 degrees Celsius, its most severe heat wave since official tallies began in 1870s. In mid-July, the UK shattered records as temperatures soared above 40 degrees Celsius for the first time since measurements started. Meanwhile, heat-fueled wildfires ravaged parts of France, Spain, Greece, and Germany. And China has faced multiple widespread heat waves, including one that hit more than 400 cities last week. Climate scientists have long warned that heat waves still strike more frequently and with higher temperatures as the world warms. But the future has arrived faster than researchers had feared, particularly in Western Europe, which is a hot spot for heat waves, according to research published last month. These aren't just more and more powerful heat waves, they are record-shattering heat waves that have defied expectations derived from climate models. Researchers are now scrambling to dissect the details of this year's heat waves to better understand how extreme heat will affect society going forward. The science community has obviously been thinking about the possibility of these events, says Eunice Lowe, a climate scientist at the University of Bristol who has studied the UK heat waves. But it was still quite so real that it actually happened, he added. Extreme heat is one of the more deadly consequences of global warming. It kills people directly, such as those working outdoors, and it overloads energy grids, disrupting electricity supplies at times when people most need air conditioning or fans to survive in overheated homes. A heat wave in Europe in 2003 is estimated to have killed more than 70,000 people, and heat waves can also exacerbate other disasters, such as wildfires, and exact a high toll on mental health. Although heat waves have been getting worse in the past few years, studies of the most extreme examples leaped forward after a June 2021 heat wave in the Pacific Northwest region of North America. That heat wave was so far off the charts that it essentially reset the field of research on extreme heat, says Vicky Thompson, a climate scientist at Bristol. In a study published in May, she and her colleagues showed that only five heat waves recorded anywhere in the world since 1960 had been more extreme, as measured by departure from the climate of the previous decade, just looking at the temperature records across the Pacific Northwest from the years before the event. It seemed completely implausible that such a record-breaking heat wave could occur, she says, and yet it did, driven mainly by a high-pressure atmospheric system that funneled in hot air, combined with drier-than-normal soil conditions across much of the region. This July's heat wave in the UK was not quite so severe, but it might still go down in history as the event that shook a nation into awareness of the dangers of extreme heat. On 18th and 19th of July, a broad swath of the country set new temperature records, in many cases a fall 3 or 4 degrees Celsius higher than the previous one. 46 weather stations broke the nation's previous record high temperature of 38.7 degrees Celsius, which was set just 3 years ago. Hundreds of people are estimated to have died. Scientists had foreseen this to some extent. A climate modeling study published 2 years ago found that it was possible, although not likely, that the UK would pass 40 degrees Celsius in the coming decades. And yet it happened this year, with a new national high of 40.3 degrees Celsius. The fact that temperatures topped the threshold so much more quickly than expected might stem from the reality that climate models don't capture everything that influences heat waves and thus don't project future heat extremes completely accurately. Changes in factors including land use and irrigation affect heat waves in ways that models don't entirely account for yet. That means that model projections can sometimes misjudge the true impact of climate change. A July 28 analysis by the International World Weather Attribution Research Group found that human-induced climate change made this year's UK heat wave at least 10 times more likely. The study also concluded that the heat wave would have been 2 to 4 degrees Celsius cooler in the absence of global warming. Beyond the UK, much of Europe has already experienced several heat waves this year. In fact, the continent has seen record heat several times over the past 5 years, says Kai Korenbauer, a climate scientist at Columbia University in New York City. He was part of the team that identified Western Europe as particularly prone to heat waves. Over the past 4 decades, extreme heat has been increasing at a rate 3 to 4 times faster there than in the other mid-latitude regions in Northern Hemisphere. That could be because the atmospheric jet stream that flows east across the North Atlantic Ocean often breaks into two separate strands as it approaches Europe. When that happens, the strands can funnel storms away from Europe and allow heat waves to develop and persist. It isn't yet clear whether climate change is leading to more of these double jets, but that pattern set up this July's heat wave in Western Europe and is responsible for many of the other recent heat events there. Similar patterns of atmospheric dynamics might turn out to be important is revealing. The factors that make heat waves events even more extreme than expected. Another striking feature of the past few months is that extreme heat has occurred simultaneously in several parts of the world. China and Western North America were both roasting in hotter than normal temperatures in late July, at the same time as Europe. Such concurrent heat waves became 6 times more common in Northern Hemisphere between 1979 and 2019. A study published in February found one reason might be atmospheric patterns called Rossby waves that settle into a snaking shape around the entire planet, setting up stagnant patterns of weather in certain locations which then became prone to extreme heat. Those might or might not be becoming more common under global warming, but the sheer chance of having simultaneous heat waves unrelated to atmospheric patterns does go up as the climate warms, says D.P. Singh, a climate scientist at the Washington State University in Vancouver, adding, "The entire world is warming, and just the likelihood of having extreme heat regions is increasing. Heat waves are also coming earlier in the year in some places such as India and Pakistan, which experienced baking temperatures from March to May. Parts of India passed 44 degrees Celsius at the end of March, well before the usual hottest part of the year. At least 90 people died. The heat wave was made 30 times more likely by climate change," the World Weather Attribution Group found. As global temperatures continue to rise, climate scientists are reiterating the importance of both cutting carbon emissions and increasing people's ability to adapt to extreme temperatures. The UK heat wave was a major wake-up call about the nation's vulnerability to extreme heat, says Stott, a scientist. After decades working on climate projections for the future, what started him most was to see wildfires raging in London's urban area, fueled by the extreme heat. "It was very sobering, really shocking that this was happening," he said.
Mournful is the earth as heaven starts to cry. Water doubts its worth as lips begin to dry. Listen to the silence. It breaks with a sad goodbye. Amid the drums of war is a mother's lullaby. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. I cry for you in pain. I cry for you. I cry for you in pain.
This is A to Z, an introduction into Husseini lifestyle. Today's lesson, the lifestyle of Imam Hussein. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome everyone, you're listening to A to Z from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. And today we're talking about the lifestyle of a very prominent personality. We're talking about the lifestyle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who was the grandson of the Prophet. We're talking about someone who was a reformer. He stood against evil, he stood against oppression from the tyrannic rulers of his time. Now, who was Imam Hussein? How was his lifestyle? Is what we really want to look up to. And why are we doing so? We are doing so that we could study from his lifestyle. We are doing so that we could know how we are supposed to live as the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, as the followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The terrible events in Islam that were contemporary to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they really had a deep impact on the changing of manners, you know, of intellectual and social life. And also, they had an important imprint in the political life throughout history. Now, the most prominent consequences of those events were confrontations against the ruling despot, rivalry with the tyrant ruler, and struggle for obtaining the produce of the lands. Now, it was natural that political conflict occurred with the most difficult condition and in the most terrible way. And, you know, the battles began to take place with all intensity and ferocity because the eyes of many companions and companions of companions had been enchanted with the sight of different types of luxuries and comfortable life without any hassles. Now, the opulent kingdom of Iran and the land of Byzantine that had fallen into their hands completely mesmerized them. And the victories that the Islamic armies had achieved at the time, and whatever the Almighty Allah had given them, and those slaves they obtained from the, you know, the conquered lands, the wealth they hadn't even dreamt about astonished them so much. Now their sole preoccupation was fighting battles and the struggle for life and death and they had completely forsaken religion. This was the type of the lifestyle that the people of the time were living, of which Al-Imam Al-Hussein, as a good leader, as a reformer, came to make sure that he is going to change this.
Why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
السلام على عليك يا أبا عبد الله
وعلى أرواح.
Welcome back. You are listening to A to Z from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hossein Hinzano, and we're talking about the lifestyle of Al-Imam Al-Hussein. Now, at his time, Al-Imam Al-Hussein, as we're saying, there were so many bad things that were happening. There were so many, you know, operations that were taking place. The tyrant rulers of the time had made sure that they do so much destroy on the society of the time. But again, Al-Imam Al-Hussein, alayhi salam, brought into existence a revolution with a strong foundation and a social transformation in the political and the intellectual and economic fields, from which was expected, you know, to have an equitable distribution, and it was supposed to remove of the disparities that the government of Uthman and the families of Bani Umayyah and Abi Mu'ayt had created. So it also confiscated the monetary sources that had been usurped unlawfully and dismissed the governors and other government officials who were there at the time. This was the work of Imam Hussein, to come and bring balance to the life of the time. At the time, there was no balance. The oppression was so high. The unlawful tyrants had done so much bad to the society. Imam Hussein made sure that he came to reform this, to bring it back to the normal, to bring it back to balance. All that we are doing is to understand this type of lifestyle that he lived, how he dealt with such situations, in order for us to learn from him, to learn on how to be good people, to be good followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And the reform that he did at the time, it's something that he did during that time of history that is having effects up to our very today Islam. And thank God we are here as followers of Imam. And inshallah, may God make us be the rightful followers of Imam and have an impact from what he taught his people of the time and become good people day by day. Thank you so much for listening to this. Inshallah, until next episode, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode and another lesson, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Better friends than you, but anyone stay here won't be alive tomorrow. You can save yourself tonight and go. A deep silence fill the air.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.